This audio article is sponsored by Froom, Australia's number one, good for you, mushroom products brand now available at Harris Farm Markets. Headline, Coconuts, Coffee, and Culture. Could Sri Lanka's next great export be the taste Gen Z craves? Sri Lanka is best known for tea, sure. But in a world obsessed with high altitude, single origin coffees, and third wave cafe culture, this island nation might just be brewing something even more potent, economic survival, served hot, with notes of cacao, citrus, and a whisper of nutmeg. Sri Lanka has just signed an MOU with Australia to boost its specialty coffee sector. But the real story isn't bureaucratic. It's botanical, that it's about unlocking the island's microclimates, volcanic soils, and heirloom Arabica varietals that have long played second fiddle to Ceylon tea. Gen Z, the most flavor-curious demographic on the planet, isn't chasing coffee that tastes like coffee. They're after blueberry in Ethiopian Yirgacheffe, tobacco, and wine in Panamanian Geisha, tamarind and jackfruit in rare Thai Doi Chang. Enter Sri Lanka, with its untapped catalogue of terroir-driven profiles and a desperate need for economic reset. Specialty Arabica is already being cultivated in the UVA Highlands, Knuckles Range, and Nuwara Laya, often intercropped with coconuts, cardamom, and cloves. That intercropping isn't incidental. These plants share soil and sunlight, gifting local beans with floral, spicy, and tropical notes impossible to replicate elsewhere. Unlike commodity Robusta or hybrid supermarket Arabica, these beans flirt with the top shelf, $8, 14 per cup in Tokyo or Brooklyn, and potentially $40 kilogram as green bean exports. The aim isn't volume, it's flavor and story. Sri Lanka's coffee revival is already taking root. The Lac Parakum cultivar, developed by the Department of Export Agriculture, is thriving in Nuwara Laya and UVA. In Kotmale and Badulla, Soul Coffee Company partners with 1000+ farming families to produce ethical beans. Colombo's Taros channels UVA microlots into global cafes, while the Ella Coffee Cooperative empowers women via cherry to export processing. Across the island, intercropped smallholder farms, often run by women, now produce over 80% of specialty output. The challenge, scale, consistency, and know-how. That's where the MOU with Australia's Market Development Facility steps in, offering training, tech, and market access. But don't call it aid, it's economic strategy. Sri Lanka isn't trying to rival Brazil or Vietnam. It's targeting the hyper-curated, Instagrammable, traceable, third-wave roaster's dream shelf, where roast dates matter and flavor is analyzed like fine wine. Varietals like SL9 and imported Tipica thrive in the 1,000-1,800m range, with monsoonal patterns and volcanic soils pushing cupping scores into the 85-88 range, the boutique coffee threshold. And for Gen Z, it's not just about taste. It's ethics, origin, and narrative. Sri Lanka's story, regenerative farming, women-led microenterprises, and climate-adapted systems, fits perfectly into the new flavor economy. But this isn't just about beans in a bag. It's about rebooting a country $36 billion in debt. Coffee, like coconuts and cinnamon, has the potential to plug back into Sri Lanka's cultural identity and export recovery. Cafe culture in Colombo, Kandy, and Ella is no fad. It's a sign young Sri Lankans are ready to consume and export a lifestyle. Think coffee trails, barista academies, and roasted at origin formats that skip legacy supply chains. Even product formats are evolving. Sri Lanka's emerging niche sector includes coconut coir-based capsules, a plastic-free alternative to aluminium, and Gen Z-friendly cold brew and RTD drinks that could command global attention. Coffee, like hope, tends to bloom in hard places. For Sri Lanka, this isn't just catching a wave. It's surfing a tsunami of flavor, purpose, and possibility. This audio sponsor's link is on the bottom of the page.